Heaven helped a boy who never had a home.
Okay, we're back with you. Let's go directly to Frank in Virginia. Frank, you're on.
Hi. I'd like to ask Attorney, who would be likely to know of the existence of this Star Wars beam weapon? Say, could Cheney know about it when he was the Secretary of Defense?
Well, certainly. Let's answer that by first establishing that, in legal terms, that there is a treaty. It's called the Outer Space Treaty. It's been in effect, for many years, going back to the '60s and maybe a little bit before that. But it prohibits the placement of weapons into outer space, now meaning in Earth orbit. The recent pronouncements from the administration are that they're giving very strong hints that they no longer wish to abide in the prohibition of weapons in space. I won't go into it, now, but suffice it to say that there have been many indicators that the U.S. Will seek ways ways around the prohibition of weapons in space. Now, on the question of who knows what, I think, I am better off in trying to make comments that are factually based, and that where there is something that I can point to as being in the nature of proof of the statement. Indeed, that is, to repeat, that's what I like about Judy Wood's work. It's evidence-based. It's fact-based. It's what you can prove. It's what you can show. It's what you can see. So from my perspective, I would have to say that I have no evidence as to the identity of particular persons. Now, that doesn't mean that there's not evidence out there that might be able to be found at some point. I think there are ways to go about examining the question of who's involved here, and one way to do so is to take a close look at itineraries. What were people doing, on certain days? Recently, I learned that on 9/11, Cheney was actually acting president, meaning that because Bush was reading a book to second graders in Florida, that Cheney actually was at the top of the chain of command that day. That's not an investigation. That's just an anecdote. I think the way forward to the caller's question would be for people to gather information based on what's in the public domain. And indeed, Ambrose, right at the outset, you mentioned the Freedom of Information Act.
Right.
And doing Freedom of Information requests to the various governmental organizations would be one useful tool in gathering up that information. But before the information is obtained, my view is that it's unwise to speculate, because your one's contentions would be too easily dismissed.
Okay.
There's something I'd like to add.
Go ahead, Judy.
In response to the issue of, this is just such a horrible thing, who would do that? And I was thinking about what the perfect crime would be. It would be so horrible, so wicked awful, that who'd want to believe that someone was capable of that? But what we do know is this crime did happen.
Mm-hmm.
And there is some person or people out there, therefore, who are capable of this. We just don't know who they are.
Yeah. Let's go to Kenny in Maryland. Kenny?
Hey,
Hey, how you doing?
Good, and you?
I'm doing fine, sir. And how to your guest? I'm wondering the material that the building that collapsed,
yeah,
that was vaporized, was that material examined to confirm what you believe happened with the particle beam?
Well, there was dust that was collected and analyzed in various places, including collected from people's lungs.
Okay.
And the particles, there have been a lot of people who have turned up ill, and the particles found in the lungs, what really hit me is that they're far smaller than the size of a red blood cell.
What?
Yes. Red blood cell is something like 7 microns.
Yeah.
We're talking about fractions of a micron.
My God.
And for matter to be broken down into such fine particles,
mm-hmm,
it's not a mechanical breakdown.
Okay.
There's another element that, and I'm out of my depth. I'm not the engineer, Judy is. But there was another element that, before NIST did its investigation, the very first governmental investigation was that performed by FEMA.
Mm-hmm.
And they were early on, and they actually had direct access to some of the remnant World Trade Center steel before it all got conveniently shipped away.
Mm-hmm.
And they noticed, with respect to some pieces that they were able to see, a process, and I don't know the technical word as
evaporation.
Pardon me?
Evaporation?
Yeah. They had steel that showed effects of evaporation, and they used, mm-hmm, a couple of other terms as well, but that was certainly one of them. And that is what was later referred to by media when they were still reporting on this as, quote, the deepest mystery of 9/11, unquote,
mm-hmm,
was the manner in which they actually had some pieces of steel that did show effects of being evaporated. And there was, and there was no way to explain that. Jet fuel, isn't going to, even melt steel, much less cause it to evaporate,
yeah,
as they were able to see.
Okay.
Another comment just want to make quickly. Ambrose, did you hear about Prince Henry going to fight over in Iraq? But the caveat is he'll be fighting with supposed armed guard, so is that actually really fighting? So
okay. Thanks for telling me that, man. All right, let's go to Larry. Larry in New York. Larry, you're on.
Yeah, Reverend Amherst, good morning.
How you doing?
Good. Back in the early 90s, from the late 1970s, I was involved in the Strategic Defense Initiative program.
Mm-hmm.
I was in the press at the time, and I was following it. Ms. Wood talked about this a beam. It almost sounds like extraterrestrial, but I'd like to explain a little bit what these particle beam weapons are.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
And what they do is they direct energy. They don't produce the energy. Actually, the energy that comes from them in one scenario is that they're in orbit and you explode a nuclear device. The energy actually comes from the explosion of a nuclear device. This thing, what it does is it directs the energy, and it directs it, halfway through space and wherever. And one of the interesting things is one of the ways that it directs it is called, it's sort of in laser beams, but it's a tunable laser. And the thing about these laser beams to carry so much energy is that I don't want to get technical, but the wavelengths are very, very tiny. The smaller the frequency, the higher the energy a beam can carry. And these beams, the frequency, it's like the distance between the peaks of a beam. is smaller than the distance between, say, a nucleus and an electron, what actually you can do with tunable lasers of that power is actually change the nature of matter.
Larry, can I put you on hold and bring you right back after this break?